because they're there. You got them there. And it's an opportunity for you to take it and present the gospel to somebody. And that's the blessed part about it. We don't hand anything out to anybody that we're not telling them about heaven and talk to them about salvation. And that's what it's all about right there. It really is. I mean, the food's just a tool, just like anything else, but our passion needs to be the lost. It really does. So we've been able to do that with the help of the Lord. Matter of fact, our first trip, it happened in 1 week's time. We had a van paid for that somebody let us use. We had a gas card somebody gave us. What a blessing for a gas card, amen. We had a van load of food and didn't have a dime in it. In 1 week, it happened. Next thing you know, we were headed to Tennessee. I thought, glory to God, it just don't get much better than this. So, anyhow, we made two or three trips over there. We actually had a service. Brother Matt got to go with us and his dear wife. And I got to go with us the second time when we had a service over there. And several folks got saved. Some folks rededicated their life. And Brother Matt got run out of a trailer over there witnessed to somebody by a chow. He can move if a dog's on him. But it was a blessing. He went with us, and two or three young preachers that's kind of helping us out went with Matt. And they had there were 75 families in that campground that have lost their jobs and lost their homes. And some of them living in tents. Honest, families of four or five people living in a tent with nothing. You know, we're a blessed people. We really are. We really are. But Matt and the boys got to go around to all the camping spots and talk to the folks and invite them to come to the service. Of course, you know Matt. He's going to tell them about Jesus before he gets gone. So, but they didn't get shot or nothing like that. But there were 70 or 80 folks came to the service, and we had a good time in the Lord. So we were able to do that. And the next trip we made out there was on a cold. We was heading to Kentucky to a boys' home, and it got to about 11, 12 degrees that night. And we went by that campground and took a load of blankets because there's folks sleeping in tents. I don't know if you've ever done any winter camping. Ooh, that's tough. So anyhow, the Lord's enabled us to do a lot of things like that. I tell you, He's blessed us. We've no telling how many tracts, how many Bibles. It's well over 1,000 Bibles and tracts. We've been to hand out and to talk to. That blesses me. You know, may not be a great number being saved, but we're getting to get the truth out. You know, and plant seeds. And if we get our heart and our mind fixed on planting seeds, amen, God's going to give the increase. We got to get the seed out there. So it's been a blessing to be able to do that. A lot of one-on-one. We've been doing a lot of work downtown Asheville. It's a lot of blessing. God's good. God's good. It's just, church, listen to me. It's just, we got to get out and go. We got to get out and do. But I want to turn over to John's Gospel, chapter number 3. Chapter number 3, if you would, right quick. And I'm going to kind of... This has been on my heart for quite a while, a couple of passages of Scripture. I'd like to preach to you till you shout, till you're blue in the face, but I'm afraid that's not where we're headed tonight, brother. I got a burden. I really do. Burden's my heart. Been to a lot of churches, been to a lot of places, and the things I'm seeing, it's just, I walk out from churches with tears in my eyes because of lack of burdens, the lack of concern, really. I mean, really, a lack of... It seems like it's just a lack of concern for the lost. And I know we all get in those situations in our lives. We go through the daily grind and we're struggling along just trying to make it. And our faith gets weak and things are going along. And the next thing you know, we're losing our sight for the lost. And you know what I'm saying? And if we was to really just pull back just a little bit, I mean, pull back these fleshly eyes just for just one brief minute and see that little door where we're all going to step through one of these days called eternity and see the state of a lost man and really see what's taking place. You know, how close a lost man is just to stepping off in the pits of hell. And so are we, yet by the grace of God. Yet by the grace of God, I'd be in hell tonight. Yet by the grace of God, we'd all be in hell tonight. And justly deserve it too, might I add. That's something else we're getting away from. The judgment of God and His law and His words. Amen. It's so easy to compromise the truth. Amen. Worried about offending someone. But I'm telling you, the gospel has got to offend. It's the only thing that's going to change somebody's direction. And we'll get into those just a little bit. But I want us to look a little bit in John chapter number 3, if you would. We'll start out in verse 16. One we all know. One we all love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus didn't come to condemn, no way. But He came to save the world That's what he came to do, is to save the world. Thank God he saved us. Thank God I'm saved here tonight. But the next verse is what's kind of this verse and the last verse in this chapter. He that believes on him is not condemned. And boy, we shout, glory to God, I'm not condemned. We shout, amen, I'm not condemned. Amen, nothing condemns me. I'm headed to heaven, glory to God. Hell can't stop that. I'm going to heaven, amen. We sing about heaven, we shout about heaven, and I love it, amen. I love it. But the verse goes on. Amen, look here. But that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned. But I want you to look right here. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I want you to think about that just for a minute. Compare yourself to a lost man, or back to when you was a lost man. You were condemned. The very law of God condemned you to a devil's hell. You couldn't meet God's standards, no way, no how. You look at the Ten Commandments, there's not one in there that we can hold truth to, if you be honest with yourself. So the very law of God, He's the greatest judge He's ever been. The very law and standards of God condemns this whole world to a devil's hell. Not a lot of shouting when this is going on. I understand that. But I want us to get back to the point where we're craving lost souls. I really do. I want us to get back to, brother, where we're understanding a lost man's fate. And yet, by the grace of God, if it's not for the grace of God, he'll spend his whole eternity in the devil's hell, burning. I mean, the brim of hell just leaping out right now. We need a picture of the flames coming out of hell. I'm glad to thank God that when my kids got saved, they came to me and said, Daddy, I don't want to go to hell. Amen. And we got to, church, listen, we got to feel the flames. We need it, brother. We need to understand the fate of a lost man. Because if we don't understand that and know and have a burden, they're just going to go by the wayside. Amen, they're going to go by the wayside. But when we read that verse, we can shout on the first part. But the second part, we ought to be moaning. Within us, I hear the old timers, how they used to come to an old mourner's bench. They'd weep for hours over a lost person. A lost son or a lost daughter or a lost husband or a lost wife or somebody. They would weep to where there'd be tears, there'd be puddles of water at the old altars. At the old altars, they'd weep for sinners for hours, if not days. My God, we can't even sniffle hardly anymore at an altar. Amen. Now y'all hang with me. Please hang with me. I'm telling you, this burdens me awful hard. God hit me with this. He's breaking my heart. The other day we was riding through, we delivered some food to one of the apartment buildings in downtown Ashley. They preach, is it pretty dangerous? Well, I don't know. Glory to God, we went anyway. Hey man, we delivered the food, some food to this old Pentecostal lady. We had a pretty good time. I'm Baptist-costal, and she's all Pentecostal. Hey man, we had a time. But we give out about 20 or 30 tracts and got to witness a little bit to that crowd around there while we was delivering her food. Amen. She had a few extra cans in her cupboard she didn't need. She said, I don't like this stuff anyway. Preacher, just take this stuff. So we took that, went to one of the rescue missions, and I'm a son of a gun. We got to go over there and got to witness to some more folks over there with what she gave us. Yeah. Amen. God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
God's good, isn't he? Well, we took off riding down through downtown Asheville about that time. And, you know, we're just thinking about, you know how a lot of folks do. You're probably one of those that's kind of rode around the edge of Asheville just to see those... folks up there, you know, kind of gawk a little bit and look. Man, they're different than us. We'd rode through several different times, and they're playing their drums and wearing their hair all crazy and wearing these crazy clothes, and some wearing not many clothes at all, and, you know, men and men and women over here. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to go in detail there. But how many times have we looked and thought about how bad it is? You think about this. I went through that and said, oh, look at that, look at that. But I'm telling you what, Brother Darren. That day, we rode through downtown Asheville. God smote me right in the heart on the last verse in this chapter right here. Man, I'm telling you what. Everybody up there needs Jesus just as much as I do.
Amen.
But it's so easy to stay away from people that are different from us. It's so easy to stay among the brethren and shout about going to heaven and our eyes turn toward heaven and there's a world dying and going to hell. Amen. It's so easy for us to be amongst our kind and buddies and friends and worship the Lord. Thank God I'm not against worship. Don't get me wrong. I like to shout with anybody. Amen. I love it. I love to come to church and I love to sing and love to preach and I love to worship. But I'm telling you, church, there's a world out there that needs Jesus. Amen. Amen. And I'm telling you, they ain't coming to the house of God to hear about Him. They really ain't. There's a few along the way. But I'm telling you, there's a world out here, Brent, that needs Jesus. Amen. They need to be told the truth. They don't need to be candy-coated. Amen. They don't need to tell everything's going to be all right. You just be a good person and everything will be all right. They don't need to hear that. Glory to God, there's enough churches doing that as it is. I'm telling you, and this is why I'm here, bless God, at Bethel. Amen. I visit a lot of churches around after I pastored. I've left with tears in my eyes because they're not preaching the gospel. They're just trying to pat people on the back. Thank God for a preacher that'll preach sin Amen. And preach it wrong right. and preach the grace of God right behind it. I'm telling Amen. You, you better hang on and hang on to that because it's rare and far between. Amen. Wow. But I tell you what, when I rode through town, I never forget, we rode through, there's a drum circle there that they have in downtown Asheville. And a bunch of these, they're still weirdos. Any way you look at it, they're beating a drum. There'll be one come, then there'll be 20 come, there'll be 30 come, and it just next thing you know, they've got a big drum circle beating a drum, and people dancing all over, all over. And on one of the corners right there in town, there's about four or five Muslims. They're handing out their stuff. Where are the Christians at? The first night we went up there, they had a big rally up at the Civic Center. The buses would come through and look at everybody and go up to have their little rally. Here come another bus from another church. Go up to the Civic Center and have their little rallies. None of them never stopped, come through. And they had to be 2,000 or 3,000 people around that square in downtown Asheville, jumping and dancing, and nobody talking to them about Jesus. Broke my heart. I said, oh God, this is the first time I ever been through this place with tears in my eyes. What's going on here? Man, it wasn't but a couple of weeks. Guess what? We were down on that corner handing out tracts. Amen. Not doing a whole lot of talking, but I'm telling you, just being a witness. And I'm telling you, church, if you'll get serious with God, He'll put you in some places, amen, that He can use you. Right. Amen. If we just get serious with God and really realize what's the fate of a lost man. Yeah. Amen. You get to the last verse here in chapter 3. And this, I tell you, this really kind of pricked me really hard because it's hard to imagine, especially when we're surrounded by grace, we're saved and going to heaven. A lot of times we forget. He says in verse 36, but he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Praise God, we can shout. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know what I'm saying, Brother Dan? I mean, we can rejoice at the first part of that, but there ought to be something prick our heart at the back end of that verse. And just, I mean, there ought to be a moan within it, a groan. Because I got family that's not saved. I got folks I work with that's not saved. There's people within probably shouting distance to this church that's not saved. Really? Amen? So the easiest place to serve God is where? Right where you sit. And we'll go home thinking we've done God a service. Come to church 3 times a week and never witnessing nobody. Amen? Brother, did you know only 2%? The statistic. That's redneck. You knew what I was saying, didn't you, see? So we're all rednecks, hallelujah. Just saved rednecks, amen? But only 2% of professing Christians. Only 2%. You ready for this? Only 2%. 2% share their faith. It's no wonder that the Muslims are taking over. It's no wonder that everybody but the Baptists are growing as a whole. Because we're not sharing our faith. We're really not. Amen. Why? You say, preacher, I'm not shouting, glory to God, mourn. Yeah. And that ain't a joke. Yeah. I mean, get back to the old altars. Because I'm telling you, there's people around you and around me every day that's going to hell. Can we win them all? No. We can't. But we can win some. We're going to have to start somewhere, somehow. Mourning. When you think about someone dying, I heard of an old fellow that I used to go to school with this week. I hadn't seen him in a long time. Lived out in Montana. Same age as I am, died this past summer with a heart attack. He didn't know Jesus. He died on a bar stool. Died on a bar stool. They spread his ashes all over Montana over there. Of course, I hadn't seen him in 20, gosh, I'm getting old. How long has it been? 25 years. And I got to thinking about that. I thought, Lord God, this old boy went out with his last heartbeat, felt dropped dead off a bar stool out somewhere in Montana. He was blue before he hit the ground. Boom. Was already in hell. Forever. Somebody I knew. Used to be buddies with back before I got saved. Amen. In hell tonight. Let that just sink just for a minute. I'm not trying to make you sad. That's not my intent whatsoever. But I'm telling you, the judgment of God is real. And every person born has the wrath of God abiding on them. Every single person has the wrath of God abiding on them. Why? God is no respecter of persons. Every person born is a sinner. The lost person don't understand that. You can tell them about the love of God till you're blue in the face a lot of times, but until they see their sin and see that they're separated from God and they're truly an enemy, you may be here tonight and never been born again. You may have heard the gospel preached 100,000 times. You may have heard about the love of God. You may have heard about a lot of things, but I'm telling you, until the Holy Ghost of God draws you, I'm talking about conviction. Until the Holy Ghost of God kills you, actually brings you to the point of death and your sins. Dead in your trespasses and sin. Dead in your trespasses and sin. Dead in your trespasses and sin. Realizing you have sinned against the Holy God and you're not right with Him, it's the only way you can turn to Jesus. Another statistic, I got it right this time. Out of all the conversions, and I read a statistic at God, and how true it is, I don't know. It probably is pretty true. There's probably some exceptions in some churches that still preach the truth. But a lot of these big crusades, only 2 to 5% after they go back and do a follow-up on them, only 2 to 5% can they even find in church anymore. They were some of the big crusades they checked on where they was like 600, 700, and 800 people, made a profession of faith. They played a bunch of music, got them all bouncy and carrying on, and preached a little sweet gospel to them and tell them that Jesus is going to make their life better and He's got a plan for the life. And they'll come screaming to an altar thinking something's going on, and 2 months later they can't find none of them, brother. Not a single one. What happened? They weren't convicted. You have to be convicted. Godly sorrow has to take place before repentance can come. That's Bible, brother. There has to be godly sorrow come in your heart. It can't be, listen, Jesus, when He came to save me, didn't save me to be happy, 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 happy. He saved me that I'd be righteous, righteous, righteous in God's eyes through Jesus Christ and Him alone and none of my works whatsoever. He's not promised you a prosperous life. He's not promised you a happy life. Amen. You look at the apostles and disciples in the New Testament. Every one of them suffered. That's all He talks about is suffering. We've got way too easy. Way too easy. We ought to be happy, glory to God, in a ditch saved than in a mansion somewhere. Say, preacher, you're getting mad. No, listen. I'm aiming right at your heart. I really am trying my best to aim right at your heart. He says that you, I want you, listen, I want God to work in your life. Amen. I want you to turn and get a thirst for the lost. Really. Honest, brother. When you get up in the morning, you're thinking about a lost man. When you get up tomorrow, you ask God to put somebody in front of me I can witness to. He'll do it. But amen, we got to want it. It's Bible. We're supposed to be ready to give an answer to any man that asks about the hope that we have. It's a commandment of the Lord. If we're not doing that, we've sinned against God. Thank God for the blood. Amen. We can shout till we're blue in the face and not do a thing for the Lord. I love to worship, brother. I like to shout, man. I'd like to just get wild and run my fingers through your hair and go, wow, glory. and shout his precious hair. I would do that, brother. Maybe not. And I love to worship. I love to shout. But I'm telling you, honestly and truthfully, if we was to serve God like we, like He would want us to, what would we be doing? Honestly. Be honest. We're I'm a member now. I can talk like this. Honestly. Really. I mean, when we get down to the nitty gritty and we're serious and asking God what would He like for us to do? He'd want us to be witnessing to the lost. It's a privilege to come to the house of God and worship and shout and listen to the music and listen to the preaching. It's a privilege. But I'm telling you what, it's a bigger privilege, to be able to go out here and witness to some lost person that God has allowed you to cross their path and to tell them about the Lord.
Amen.
That's the biggest privilege you'll ever have. And I'm telling you, if you ever get to the point where you're praying that prayer and things start happening and the Lord starts using you, it's addictive.
Yep.
You'll be trying to think of things, what can I do?
Yep.
Oh God, what can I do to try to get their attention?
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
What can I do? How can I act? What can I say? What can I do? What can I give them? Or what can we plan? Or what can we do just to get this lost man's attention where I can talk to him and tell him about Jesus? It'll be addictive. But we've got to understand, I think, honestly, if we understand the fate of a lost man and God pricks your heart, because it's going to take that. You can run from it till you can run, and you can hide on your church pew. You can hide from Brother Darren. You can hide from everybody else, but you're not hiding from the Lord. You're not hiding from the Lord. But let's look here just a little bit. Romans chapter number 1. I know Brother Darren was there just a second there. I got 4 or 5 places I wanted to turn to just to kind of get us in this and get us to understand and to see this. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Amen, boy, we can shout. I'm glad it's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. The gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God. What? The Word of God is where the righteousness of God is revealed. From faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith. And look here in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed of God through the Scriptures and all this. I really have. But I don't like to think about it. I've heard that. Well, I don't like to think about it because it depresses me. So, what are you telling a lost man then? Are you telling him the truth? Are you telling him that his sins separate him from a holy God? Are you telling him, really, are you? Are you telling him, well, if you'll just, God's got a nice little plan for your life, if you'll just realize that and ask God to forgive you of your sins and come to Him and He'll save you and you'll live happy and you can share and He'll have a big plan for your life. There's partial truth there. Where's the conviction? Where is the conviction in that? Listen, I'm old fashioned and I believe this book. And I believe without repentance, without godly sorrow, as I said a little while ago, salvation's not coming. And church, listen to me. It's our job as believers to get the truth out there. You can't pile it in your pastor's lap. Amen. He is supposed to preach to you. Amen. And you're supposed to take it out. The problem is, I knew, preacher, you was going to get to the problem. Well, I'm glad you said that. So let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Let's look just a little bit here. Let's get this introduction over with. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange, verse 12, concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Think it not strange. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ, suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but of your part, He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's manners. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Now he's talking about afflictions. He's talking about suffering. He's talking about persecution, which a lot of us don't know anything about, really. We don't really know what persecution really is. You look at the Fox's Book of Martyrs. We've got to a point in our church age, honestly. In our church age, we've got to the point where we're so materialistic. A lot of our problems. I'm just being honest with you. A lot of our problems if we've become materialistic and think that if we don't have this and this and this, God's not blessing us. That's not my Bible. Listen. There's some suffering got to be along the way. And some things that try us and work on us. But he goes on to say here, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, now look at this, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, if we're scarcely saved, I mean really, you think about it. You think about eternity and how close we are to eternity every day. Boom! I mean, we're one heartbeat away from eternity, just like that. I mean, when we're saved, we're scarcely saved. I mean, we're walking on, listen, honestly, as a person, unregenerated person, that's lost and without God and without hope, and you may be one here this evening. You may be. An unregenerated person that's living with the heartbeat and breath that God provides for each and every one of us. An unregenerated person is Jonathan Edwards. Have you ever read his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? I urge every one of y'all to get it. If you've never read it, get on the internet and read that thing. It was preached in the early 1700s, and literally thousands of people were saved from him just reading a sermon he wrote. But he speaks of an ungenerated person just walking over hell on a thin piece of cloth. You think about this. I want us to get this. I hope we're all saved here tonight, but you know a lot of ungenerated people, a lot of unsaved people in your life, and honestly, the only thing that's keeping them is a breath and a heartbeat from plunging off into a devil's hell without the gospel, without knowing God, without knowing anything for eternity in their life. And we're here shouting. It's good to shout. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, I want us to see the realities of this thing and realize it's God that's keeping them from plunging off into the devil's hell. And hell's there now. It's hot. It's flames. It's eternal. It don't just burn up like a match like some folks say it happens. It's for eternity. It's for everlasting and everlasting. The fire's never quenched. It's never going out. It's never going away. It's going to get hotter. It's going to enlarge itself and all these. Just think about the literal thousands of people every day, every second, every minute of every day of your life. While we're enjoying the blessings of God, people are falling off into the devil's hell every day. Really. I'm telling you, church, I love y'all. That's why I'm here. Amen. It ain't to be mean. But I tell you, when I ride around and see some of the things that are going on in some of our churches, it burdens me. It's under God, it burdens me. There's no concern for the lost. Me, my four, and I could care less about everybody else. Amen? And I tell you, the worst thing could ever happen to a church is for it to lose its burden for the lost. If you ever lose your burden for the lost, church, you might as well stay at the house and watch it race. Amen? Honestly. Honestly. Everything you can do in Nawana's on Wednesday nights. God bless y'all for having that and getting out and getting the youth. Because that takes back to the families. Amen. God bless you for doing that. What a blessing it is to see that take place. But don't pat yourself on the back. Boy, that preacher, man. Amen. He's awful, ain't he? You glorify God in every way you can because it's all about Him. It ain't about me and you. Amen. But I'm telling you, church, a burden for the lost is essential for everything. Yeah. If you don't have a burden for the lost, God's not going to be pleased with what's going on. You can play the game. There's churches with literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people in there playing a game, playing church, running on feelings, running on this and running on that, and God ain't within a million miles of it. Stirring up. You can miss God a lot of people. That's why it's so important to preach the gospel. Not only the gospel, it's so important to preach about hell. Not only that, it's important that a lost man realizes in the hands of an angry God, they're heading to hell without Jesus Christ. So when we look at this verse here, if the righteous scarcely be saved. I think about the night I got saved. I'd been on a 3-day drunk. The preacher, you don't know the half of it, glory to God, and you're not going to know the half of it. The other half, amen. But I'd been on one. Amen. I'd been on one. Every night, stuff would have this old King James Bible laying on my nightstand. Every night I'd come in and take that Bible and put it in the nightstand and shove the drawer shut because I knew there was something in that book. I knew because I'd heard enough of the gospel. I'd heard some things. I knew that in this book right here, there was something that would, not might, but would change my life. And this old book, I found the book. Amen. Found the book. I knew that I had to put it away. I couldn't stand it. An old drunk can't stand it. A lost man can't stand it. So don't listen. He can't help it. What do you expect from a lost man? Don't expect anything else. Don't get mad at him. What do you expect out of a lost man? He don't know the ways of God. But it's our way to show him and tell him about it. Amen. But I knew there was something there in this whole book. This whole book. So finally out of... thank God for a nagging wife. No, I'm sorry, Sophie, honey. Persistence. Whew. Man. I went to a revival meeting where he was preaching. He's preaching out of this whole book. Now this whole book, I learned my sin. Amen. And now this whole book, I learned about grace. First, I had to learn about my sin. First, I had to learn about my sin out of this whole book, that I was separated from God, that I wasn't right with Him, and I was heading to hell with my eyes wide open. Lost. I didn't know no better. Amen. Till it was put in my way. Amen. It was a dart to hit me right between the eyes. Amen. But thank God, thank God, thank God for grace. I'm telling you, people don't understand. A lost man don't know how sweet grace is. Till the law and the words of God and conviction and the openness of sin comes in their life and they realize there's no other way except through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it does. And then they can understand grace. They can see how sweet, amazing grace is when they realize they're a sinner and separated from God, heading to a devil's hell, and they realize that, hey, there's Jesus. Glory to God, I've sinned. I've sinned against you, my Father. Forgive me. Yep. Amen. They know what about grace. Amen. But I'm telling you, just when we think about a lost man, how close. Brother Darren, you know when I was in the hospital over in Hendersonville, had a heart attack. I've been through a bunch of stuff. Amen. Called Brother Darren. Here he come. Me laying on an upper room table. Or some kind of table. And I don't know what it was. They had me so doped up I didn't know where I was coming or going. Amen. But I knew I looked over on that what's it called? EKG. It looked like a chicken been scratching. There wasn't no beat. I mean, it's jumping all around. Here come Brother Darren. He come in there. I done checked the phone myself to see if I was saved or not. Because I didn't know if I was going to live or die that day. But I'm here. Amen. I'm here. Amen. But it's wonderful to be able to lay on a emergency room table singing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus while you're having a heart attack," ain't it? Is that grace? My little girl, she was littler back then. And they was over in Pigeon Forge. I was in Hendersonville. They made it in less than an hour and a half from Pigeon Forge to Hendersonville. Thank God for grace. And no highway patrolman, amen. But Jennifer says, "Daddy, when I heard that you was in the hospital..." See, we got to singing Amazing Grace. And somebody spoke to me. Said, your daddy's going to be all right. What do you reckon that was? Amen. What about that?
Amen.
We know about this, don't we?
Yeah.
It blesses us to know how God can deal and work in our lives. But a lost man don't know that.
Right.
You tell a lost man in this story, they say they're an absolute bunch of nuts over there at Bethel and everywhere else for going to church. Because they don't know.
Right.
You see, what I want you to see, we're enjoying the stories of God. We're enjoying the blessings of God. We're enjoying grace. We're understanding this and the Holy Ghost. We're enjoying everything. And there's a world out there that needs Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's our job to get them. It's our job to get them. Amen. And we see that right there. If the righteous scarcely are saved, where the ungodly and the sinner appear. Amen. I think that was all. Yeah, that was all it's going to turn to. But I got to thinking about that. And I got to thinking about the state of a lost man. Church, don't forget it. There ought to be a revival of toward a God, old mourner's benches. There ought to be days that we, evenings that we come and just pray for the lost. Really? We're blessed, ain't we? How many can say they're blessed? Let me see your hands. Amen. We're blessed, aren't we? How many saved? Let me see your hands. Amen. How many understand grace? Lord of God, let's see your hands because we're saved. Amen. We understand I'm covered by the blood. Let's see your hands. Amen. Amen. We understand these things. We understand we're blessed to have this old Bible. Amen. It changes lives, doesn't it? Amen. Saved my life, my family. Amen. There's a lot of folks out there that don't have it, Brother Darren. And church, I urge you. I urge you. Start praying. I'm telling you. Begging God. If you don't have a burden, if you're sitting here right now, about half asleep, you know what you ought to be doing? God, I don't really have a burden. What's wrong with me? God, what's wrong with me? I just don't have that burden like I used to have. I don't. When I come to church, I don't cry like I used to. God, I don't weep over sinners like I used to. I don't. My concern for the lost is just, it's just almost gone. But Lord, you know, life going on in my life, yeah, glory to God, we all do. But I'm talking, getting serious with God, because what's going to matter is how many we win. Shouting and singing, it's a good thing. But I'm telling you, our crowns come winning the lost. Amen. There may be here one this evening. You've been wrestling with your salvation. Really, you've thought about heaven. You thought, oh God, if something happens to me, where will I go? Friend, let me tell you, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, hell's going to be your home. It really is. And God is completely justified at opening the doors and you dropping in. You've rejected Him. You've rejected His ways. He is going to be bound by His Word. And He's not going to differ because how many kids you got or how good a person you are. He's not going to change because He's bound by His Word. It don't matter how many people you fed, how many hungry you've helped, how many orphans you've gave to. If you are not convicted of your sins and godly sorrow has led you to repentance to a holy God and you've asked for forgiveness, you're not going to heaven. Amen. But amen, church, I mean pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, several come to the altar. Amen. Sister, would you come up and play a little something here? Just as I am or something like that maybe.
I'd like to say, while everybody's praying, I've prayed for a family for 30 years. I'd like for tonight you mention my family that's lost. Charles Jr., Jason, Randy, Jimmy, Vicki and Gerald. I've mentioned their time every time I pray. Just mention their name tonight to the Lord.
How many of us here tonight have someone in our family that's lost? Let me see hands. A lot of y'all didn't come to this altar. I'm just going to go ahead and ask. If you stuck your hand up, won't you come? Listen. Y'all come up here. Y'all, let's just go up here and stand right here. Everybody that raised a hand. Everybody that raised their hand with a lost person in their family, you know. I know there's a lot of us here. I want us to get a hold of this. And I believe the Lord does. Let's just all stand around here. Don't you look. Everybody. There's not a one of us here tonight that doesn't have a lost person in our life, in our family. Yeah, y'all just slip on up here. Amen. Everywhere. Altar's full. We all got lost family members. How many of us want to see them saved by the grace of God? We do, don't we? We could double hand that. Amen. I tell you what, let's do. Let's all, each and every one of us, bow our heads. And let's pray. Amen. Let's pray for the lost in our families. Amen. Let's all bow our heads. Amen. I follow the Lord Jesus as we bow in your presence. God, as we've seen your word, we've seen the outcome of the lost, and we understand that they're under bondage of the law and that they are headed to the devil's hell. Father, and I just pray. Oh God, I pray, Father, tonight, as Lord, each and everyone's bowed their heads, and Lord, this church and each and every family here, oh Jesus, have a burden for the lost. God, give us a thirst. Give us resolve. Oh God, give us resolve. Give us stamina, Lord Jesus, to resist the devil. Lord, that we not just get lazy on you. God, give us the resolve and the stamina through the Holy Ghost of God that we'd be determined not to let the devil have our family. God, give us that within us, Lord God, that we'd have the strength through the power of the Holy Ghost, that we'd not give up, that we'd be on a battlefield with the Lord Jesus Christ to win the lost. And Lord, our families, Lord, I don't want the devil. I don't want the devil on my family. I don't want them to die and drop off into hell and the devil land on them. I don't want that. But God, give us all strength and help us to pray for each other that our faith wouldn't fade way away and it wouldn't go away. And anything in our lives, God, that we'd just be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in your word and your work. Amen. Father, help us with that, Lord Jesus. Save our families, Lord. We ask for that. Lord, we just pray that that would take place. Give us, Lord, what we need to witness. Lord, help us to challenge ourselves. Lord, that we'd just not get slack, but Lord, we'd ever challenge ourselves every day and quit compromising, quit giving up, and just realize that if we don't, as God's people, say something, this world's going to hell. Well, I pray you'd give us that. Convict our hearts as a church. As the Bible said, judgment must begin at the house of God. And Father, I pray that your judgment and your conviction will be upon all of our hearts this evening. Lord, letting us know what we need to do. Father, we thank you. Bless all these folks and their families in Jesus' name. Amen.